always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, Senior Lakers Insider and Lead Lakers Content Creator for Offside, joined on this fine Sunday night, my time, like late evening, most of your guys' time, by you guys. You guys are joining me here in the lounge. It is a Sunday. It is a mailbag Sunday. It'll be a mailbag Monday episode for those of you who listen to the show in its podcast form tomorrow morning. Here's the deal. You guys know I've been fighting and battling these allergies all cedar season here in Texas. This is the worst allergy season I have ever experienced. This eye was messed up before. Now it's this eye. I can't really breathe out of my nose very well. And if I do breathe out of my nose, it means it just starts leaking. So I am going to try to bear it and figure out a way to talk as long as I possibly can here on this episode and cover the things that I want to cover here today. So I want to talk about Rui Hachimura making his return. I want to talk about the decision to bring Rui off of the bench and how it was kind of forced on JJ Redick. Also discuss the notion of what should happen once Rui's minutes limit or, minutes restriction will be up. I'll talk about that. I have a question from the iTunes mailbag that I will answer as well. And then I'm going to dive into your guys' questions here in the chat and hopefully, hang out for a little bit. But if it gets bad and if it becomes more of a distraction, I'm just going to hop out of here, rest up, see if I feel better in the morning. And if I do feel better in the morning, then I'll just record, kind of a second part of the mailbag, even though tomorrow is a game day or a game night. I will go ahead and record another episode tomorrow morning or afternoon or whatever. And then obviously be live in the lounge after the Lakers play in Sacramento. So, that is the plan as of right now. And for as long as I can hang out, hopefully we just get through this whole episode. That would be great. But if not, I just want to be upfront about the cause of this, what's going on. I feel mostly fine. I'm kind of tired because I haven't been sleeping very well because of these stupid allergies, but just going to try to get through as much of the stuff that I really, really want to talk about, and then hopefully get to as many of your questions as I possibly can and then book it. So let's go ahead and dive on in. All right. Quick reminder, please hit that subscribe button. Please hit that like button. If you guys are new around these parts, this is a channel that exists so that we can talk about the Lakers in a semi-informed way but also kind of fanish way, and if you guys like what you see here, go ahead and hit that like button. If you guys really enjoy it, hit that subscribe button, and then if you really like it, turn on those notifications. And then if you like it to the nth degree, hit that share button and tell your friends about the show. If you guys are listening to the show in its podcast form in the morning, please hit subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcasts, preferably on Odyssey. But you know what? Like I've been saying, doesn't matter to me. Wherever it is that you get your podcasts, I will take it. All right, let's dive on in. Talking about Rui Hachimura making his return. All right. Look, we already have a complainer. You, Buha, and Trevor can stop stream. See, look at this. This is just annoying. All right. Not your comment is annoying. I mean, that's also annoying, but like this is just leaking. All right. You, Buha, and Trevor can now stop screaming into your pillows. Laravia gets to start. Good night. Great show always. Go Lake Show. All right. So, I haven't been screaming into my pillows. I would prefer to be screaming into my pillow a little bit more because it would mean that I'd be in my bed sleeping more often. But these stupid allergies have made it so that like I just lie down in bed, keep rubbing my eyes, and I get frustrated. So I just get up and go watch TV or play PlayStation or something. But all right. So as Dr. Funkology writes, the news out of today's practice from JJ Redick was that Rui Hachimura will be making his return to the court Monday against the Kings. There was some hope that maybe he would play in the Lakers' last game Friday night. He was not able to play in that game. So instead, he will be making his return when the Lakers travel up to Sacramento to play that team. And when he plays in that game, he will be playing with a minutes restriction because he's coming off of a soft tissue injury. And the Lakers want to be really careful with those. And as such, because of how difficult it is to play a guy the amount of minutes that you would like to play him and also start, he's going to be coming off of the bench and sticking to that like 20 to 25 minute range with Jake Laravia, I believe, continuing to start. So annoying. So the this is where I would love to have been in that scrub. I haven't seen the full scrub. I just saw the clip of JJ Redick's answer explaining this, but I would have loved to have been in that scrub to ask, hey, you know, we know that this decision is coming, you know, because like you're talking about Rui is going to be on a minutes restriction and it's really hard to play a starter that few minutes, but the starting group hasn't been very good all year. Statistically speaking, it's just been leaking points game in, game out. It's very clear why that group is leaking points the way that it has all season. Yeah, we can say that Rui's role right now is dictated by his minutes restriction, but he's not always going to be on that minutes restriction. Had he not been on one, had you considered making a change to the starting lineup before Rui got hurt? And I think that's where, you know, I would have loved to have heard JJ Redick's comments on the topic. Had it been presented to him that way. We didn't get that. And we will see what that looks like when Rui is off of his minutes restriction. But as it stands right now, like this is the thing. I don't dislike Rui as a player, let alone as a person. I think he has his holes, but I do think he's a very talented offensive player. I think he has been miscast all season, having to play like wing stopper defense with that starting group. And, you know, as such, he has been a less impactful player than he probably should be given the astronomical shooting numbers that he has posted so far this year. And I would like to be able to put him into a situation where we can highlight those astronomical shooting numbers while not having them so clearly tainted by the lack of defense that he presents at the position he's been playing most of or mostly this year. So, and then on top of that, like, you know, because of the criticism that I've levied against him so far this year, there's this notion that like, I don't want him on the Lakers at all. I don't want him on the Lakers if he won't accept a bench role. If the Lakers don't change their personnel, I think that he would need to move to the bench and accept a bench role. I also don't necessarily know that he would be a starter on very many playoff teams, right? That's not a knock on him. That just means that he's not one of the 60 best players at his position in the world. He's like somewhere between 50 and 80, I would probably say, or 50 and 70 or so. Or not even that low, right? Like I think he would probably start for a lot of like lower tier playoff teams, or certainly he would start for lower tier teams in the NBA. So like you could probably make the argument he's probably like 15 through 30 at his position in the world. That's not a knock. That is pretty damn extraordinary to be that good at anything, right? And that's why he's paid to the extent that he is. Now, you know, because of the way that I've kind of talked about his game so far this year, there's been this notion of like, all right, well, you see how much the Lakers miss him. It's like, yes, of course the Lakers miss him. He's probably their fourth most talented basketball player. And I would have loved to have seen, you know, Jake LaRavia start with Rui coming off of the bench so that there'd be fewer Jared Vanderbilt minutes and you know, given the amount of damage that Vando does to the offense. And now this also gives us the opportunity to potentially see Vando and Rui lineups together. That's always been a combination I've always liked, right? They are basically two sides of a very good wing player coin. And if you play the both of them out there together, you could maybe highlight each other's strengths and kind of make up for each other's weaknesses. And I think there's an interesting wing tandem somewhere in there. So yeah, I'm looking forward to tomorrow's game because we'll finally get a look at what that might look like. And then I'm really interested to see how JJ Redick handles this moving forward, especially if the Lakers do a little bit of winning with Jake LaRavia in the starting group and Rui Hachimura coming off of the bench, given that right before Rui had gotten hurt, you could make a very clear argument at the time that it was probably about time to you know, maybe stick Rui on the bench. So, I can't wait to see how this plays out. I hope that this is given a legitimate chance even beyond Rui's minutes restriction. Because, like, look, worst comes to worst, if you give it a real chance, you could always go back to Rui as the starter. You know, I think it gets difficult if you basically say this is only dictated by Rui's minutes restriction. So then Rui comes off of his restriction, starting again, and now you're back at square one without ever really knowing what this rotation would look like with a Rui Hachimura at closer to 100%. Playing a role that makes a little bit more sense. So, and now look, this also said, I forget who I saw make this point on Twitter, and I do think it's worth noting, Jake isn't some perfect player. Like, I like Jake. I think he's been a good story, and him providing any level of two-way wing play at the amounts of money that he is being paid this year is nothing short of a miracle, right? Like that's the unicorn cap presence, is two-way wing making six-ish million bucks a year. That is a huge win for the front office. That said, if Jake LaRavia is your best two-way wing, you have a lot of the problems that the Lakers have been faced with all year, right? And so I would, you know, while I really like Jake LaRavia, and while I think he's probably a, you know, seventh or eighth guy on a championship contender, that would mean inherently that I would like to see, you know, a significantly better player in there as the Lakers two-way wing. And that has to be, like, I don't think it'll be addressed, you know, between now and the trade deadline, but that has to be the Lakers' absolute top priority going into this upcoming summer. If that isn't addressed during the summer, then it's time to fire everybody responsible for whatever roster is put together there. So, I'm looking forward to tomorrow. We'll see what that looks like. I'm glad to have Rui Hachimura back. I think the Lakers have really missed his shooting and his spacing. And I can't wait to see what impact that has on the game when he is finally, you know, back in the rotation. BRB. All right. Man, this is a struggle. That was a long 15 minutes. All right, let's go ahead and dive on into your guys' questions. A quick reminder, the best way to get a comment or topic covered on the show is to leave it in the form of a 5-star review on iTunes. And from that iTunes mailbag, we have QBreezy12 writing, if they don't move the first at the deadline, who's your preferred target to help this year and next? Keon Ellis, Sadiq Bey, anyone else? Does Ellis overlap with Smart? Would the Kings even deal with the Lakers? All right. So first and foremost, yeah, I'm very skeptical that the Lakers were, that the Lakers would be able to figure out a trade with the Sacramento Kings. Those two franchises hate each other. That fan base in Sacramento in particular really hates the Lakers. And if you're the Sacramento Kings and you have had as annoying and frustrating a season as the Kings have had, one of the surest ways to just lose that fan base outright altogether is to send a popular Sacramento Kings player to the Los Angeles Lakers. So, like, I don't necessarily see how the Lakers get their hands on Keon Ellis. My top, like, because Ayo Dosunmu is, I think, right on that border of, like, the most I would offer for him is, like, a very highly protected first-round pick. And so, like, as such, he is probably at the top of my list of players that I would really like for the Lakers to go out and get if you're not going to move a first this upcoming deadline. I do think it is maybe time to consider moving that first round pick for, like, I don't think you're going to get a two-way wing for one first round pick. Like, I don't see that. I do think it is possible that the Lakers could be able to trade for a near starting caliber center or an actual starting caliber center. For DeAndre Ayton and a first round pick, especially DeAndre Ayton on an expiring contract and a first round pick. So, and the nice thing about Ayton is because, like, yes, he signed a 1-year deal, but because he didn't sign a minimum deal, you can actually combine his 1-year deal with other outgoing salary, plus obviously that first round pick. And I think you could land the center that the Lakers actually need, right? And, you know, I think Daniel Gafford falls into this category. If you want to take, you know, a bit more of a shot, you can maybe see if the Pelicans are considering trading Ezmisi, right? You could, you know, I would not at all use a first round pick to trade for Robert Williams, but maybe you could trade, you know, some expiring money and bring back Robert Williams and at least give yourself that high motor big who's, you know, slots in there, probably higher than Ayton on the depth chart, but also has those injury concerns. So Ayton would have to step in and be the spot starter on occasion. I really like the idea of going after Williams. I know it's a bit of a gamble because of his injury concerns, but I just don't think the Lakers are going, like, they aren't going to go very well, very far at all if DeAndre Ayton is their starting center. He just doesn't have a high enough motor to be an anchor defensively, and he's not strong enough to be an anchor defensively, and he's not athletic enough to be an anchor defensively, and the Lakers are nowhere near talented enough defensively on the perimeter for DeAndre Ayton to be their center anchor, right? So I think Robert Williams is talented enough and good enough to be their defensive anchor. The concern with Williams, obviously, is his ability to stay on the court, and just flatly, he has not been able to do that. So I don't know what the Lakers would have to give up. I don't know if the Lakers would even have to give up anything. Like, I wonder if, obviously legally, I'm winking here, not just allergies, but winking. But if the Lakers could back channel and let it be known to Williams' people, hey, if you push for a buyout, you could start here, and see how that could potentially go. But I think when it comes to, you know, addressing needs here, I don't think the Lakers are going to be able to address any of, like, any wing type need. You aren't going to address with one first round pick in your back pocket. And yet I think, like, if you want to address your point guard needs, you know, if you want to address, like, starting guard type needs, you could maybe address that with a first round pick. You could probably address starting center needs with one first round pick. And that's something that I think the Lakers should seriously consider. But I just don't think that Ayton is the long-term solution there. And we might just be seeing Ayton during that, like, 30 to 40 game, like, the rut that everybody falls into 30 to 40 games into an NBA season. Like, this is just kind of a low point in DeAndre Ayton's season. But if this is a low point and then you go into a playoff series and he hits another low point there, your season is over. And the Lake, and like, Jackson Hayes isn't good enough to make up for DeAndre Ayton if he goes into one of these lulls at the wrong time. So, those are the kinds of things that I'd be looking for. Keon Ellis, I love the idea of Keon Ellis. I just don't think Sacramento is going to send him to him. Chicago might be dumb enough to trade Dosunmu, and I would like to see the Lakers maybe really pursue Dosunmu. Maybe Portland, you know, moves off of Matisse Thybul or something like that, but they are, like, close to good, and they might, you know, decide to really kind of go for it and really put themselves in the play-in range. And if they do that, like, they need a two-way wing like Thybul. So same goes for Jrue Holiday and even Robert Williams for that matter. But the big thing is the Lakers basically have to, you know, keep a very close eye on teams in that 12 to 15 range in both conferences, and then see if they could do enough convincing with those teams to have those teams send them somebody who addresses a real need for the Lakers. All right. This is just killing me. Absolutely annoying. I hate allergies. Let's dive into some of your guys' questions here. I'm going to scroll up to the top. James, I hope you had this figured out. Anyone seeing a blank screen on YouTube? I think we're all good. Okay, yeah, you're good. G Gong asks, what are you fighting, Anthony? A bad cold? No, it's just these. So I live in Texas, and apparently cedar is a real bad problem out here. And as soon as it gets really cold, trees with cedar pollen just let that off into the atmosphere. And unfortunately for us, anytime it gets really cold, it also gets really windy because it's literally the cold weather blowing in. And so between the wind and that cedar pollen getting kicked up, it has just been a nightmare. I can't be outside for longer than like 5-10 minutes without immediately, like, but, you know, scratching at my eyes and stuff. And yeah, there's just no way to avoid it. It's just in my house now. It's on my kids' clothes. There's no way to avoid not going. Like, it's no way to avoid going outside. You know, I have Avery just started soccer, so I had a game with her on yesterday. So it's just allergies. It just is what it is. John Ledesma, talk about a Bomber and Aspiration. So I haven't checked out Pablo's latest episode yet. The hope is to check that out tonight when everybody goes to bed. And then I will talk about it maybe tomorrow if we do record that, you know, standalone episode during the day, which I think is probably going to be the move here. I'm struggling too much. I'm hoping I'll be able to watch or listen to Pablo's episode today or tonight and then talk about it tomorrow during the day.
And then obviously Raj and I will break down Lakers Kings tomorrow night, and then we'll be back to your hopefully regularly scheduled podcasting schedule. But like, yeah, I saw that there's another one and some other interesting coincidences that I've seen on social media. What I will say and what I have heard, and it's been really frustrating to hear this, is how the league is going to have a very high bar of what is considered tangible evidence or definitive evidence on tampering here. And if that is how they do this, then you're probably looking at a bit of a smack on the wrist for the Clippers. And I think if they smack the Clippers on the wrist for this again, given that there are now what, 6 or 7 episodes worth of evidence on poor behavior from Steve Ballmer, just as it pertains to Kawhi. Remember, he's already been punished for cap circumvention before with DeAndre Jordan. So this would be the second time he's done it, or is probably the second time he's done it. And if you slap him on the wrist, that to me signals to every other team in the league, go ahead, go for it. Circumvent that cap. Do whatever you need to get whatever free agent. And if you're the Lakers and you just got yourself an owner with some of the deeper pockets in the league, and an owner, by the way, that, kind of set the trend of, other loopholes in baseball to get guys to the Dodgers that other teams are now using, as annoying as it would be to see the Clippers get their wrist slapped for something that is pretty clearly very serious, I think the Lakers would stand to benefit from a lax cap circumvention set of rules or punishments. Let's see. I'm looking for questions. Sorry. All right. So yeah, this is an issue. The man JM broke down Nick Claxton's game. He's a must. His free throw percentage is 68%. He's a good playmaker, can dribble, and has decent offensive skills. Do we have to mention the defensive? On the defensive side, DA will shrink for the playoffs. I believe that last statement is true. The Lakers have liked Claxton for a little while. They've kicked the tires on him on a few transaction windows, so I'm sure he'll be on their radar again. The Nets are basically about to hit a bit of a fork in the road where they decide, all right, are we going to trade Michael Porter Jr.? And if we are going to trade Michael Porter Jr., then we may as well trade guys like Claxton and Cam Thomas as well. And if they do that, I do think the Lakers would be able to get Claxton for a first round pick. I think that would be, and that's what I'm talking about. Like, I don't think you're able to get a starting two-way wing with just a first round pick in your back pocket, but I do think you can get a starter at a somewhat less important position. And I think Claxton fits that bill. So see what kind of salary you need to send out. Maybe you also get De'Ron Sharpe in the transaction as well. And especially like if you do that, I think Ayton might even ask to be included in the trade, so that he could start and put up numbers on a team that isn't trying to win. I think that would be kind of the ideal situation for DeAndre Ayton, to be completely honest. But yeah, it would be interesting to see how he would handle that, how he would handle maybe going to the bench if the Lakers do bring in a starter at his position. But if he doesn't, like if he accepts a bench role, I think he would be great as a backup center for the Lakers. Like that would be great. If and then you move Jackson Hayes into kind of a third string center who comes in to bring energy and athleticism, that'd be a really good starting or center rotation. You could even play a couple of those guys side by side. Yeah, I would definitely be intrigued by Claxton 100%. Let's go to the next question here. All right. Marshawn 35. What makes Rui the fourth most talented guy on the roster when Jake does more than him? Rui can shoot, but Jake can do a lot more. Well, I don't think it's a matter of Rui not being able to do a lot of the things that Jake can do. It's and that's what I mean by talent, right? Like there's a, this harkens back to really early in my career, but I always used to get annoyed when people would kind of swap raw talent for actual quality of play, for individual players. So you would see somebody, you know, defined as like, yeah, that guy's like a top 10 player. And it's like, yeah, he might be a top 10 talent, but I don't know that he actually makes a top 10 impact, right? And I think this is where Rui is a more talented basketball player than Jake is. He's bigger. He could probably jump roughly as high as Jake can. Jake probably has better foot speed. Well, we'll give him that than Rui. But Rui, you know, can dribble roughly as well as Jake can. He has bigger hands. He's more physical. He can finish through more contact than Jake can. Like if the two guys were to play one-on-one, I would probably take Rui. But that's not how basketball is played in the NBA, right? So I think Rui is a more talented basketball player, and I probably stand by him being considered the fourth most talented Laker. I don't think he's the fourth most impactful Laker, though. And if Rui ever wants to maximize his earnings to the extent that I'm sure he is looking to in this upcoming summer, he's going to have to close that gap between talent and impact, you know, and that's where that's the next step that Rui is going to have to take. And ideally, he takes that step with the Lakers. We haven't seen it yet. All right. Let's go. Richard Case. Why does JJ still have a job? Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy are waiting to fix Rob and Kirk's mess. Kurt Rambis. For one thing, Mark Jackson, like, not a very good coach. Always makes me nervous when a team takes off immediately after firing a coach. And that's exactly what the Golden State Warriors did right after they fired Mark Jackson. Jeff Van Gundy's an interesting one. I know that he has been a welcomed presence there for the Clippers as kind of one of their defensive, their lead defensive assistants. And that is a side of the ball that the Lakers have obviously struggled on. I do, like, look at the NFL playoffs right now and look around the league. Like, not many retreads are, like, not many teams that hired retreads are, like, thrilled that they did it, right? The only team that comes to mind is probably, or two teams, right? The Denver Broncos with Sean Payton and the New Orleans Pelicans with Mike Vrabel. Everybody else, right? Like, you know, Liam Cohen with the Jacksonville Jaguars, like he completely turned that organization around. First time head coach. Ben Johnson with the Chicago Bears, first time head coach. You know, Sean McVay, right? Has been with the Rams forever. He wasn't some retread coach when they hired him. You look in the NBA, right? And how many of the teams at the top of their conferences or with the best chances at winning a championship this year are, you know, first time coaches in that, like the job that they currently hold is their first NBA head coaching gig, right? You have Mark Dagno, you have like the guy who's coaching for Denver, whose name I kind of forget. Sorry about that, little man. I don't even know if you're little. We're probably the same height. And then, you know, you do have some retreads that work out, right? Mike Brown has had a positive influence on the New York Knicks, and JB Bickerstaff has had a positive impact on the Detroit Pistons. So sometimes it does work out. I don't know how many cases there are or examples of really, really successful coaches who had been out of the game as long as Jeff Van Gundy was, stepping back into being a head coach and immediately panning out. So Jeff Van Gundy, I'd be more interested in him than Mark Jackson, but if I had to choose between Mark Jackson and J.J. Redick, I think I would probably still stick with J.J. Let's see. There was a funny question in here that I wanted to get to. Oh, here it is. RoboCop. Did you hear about Dennis trying to fight Luca? Yeah, I did. Had a good time laughing at it, too. gosh, my eyes. All right, so according to, well, not just reports, right? Dennis Schroeder is not going to be available for tomorrow night's game because of this. But apparently, according to the league, after the Lakers and Kings played, however far back they actually played, Dennis Schroeder tried to get at Luka Doncic in the hallways of the arena that they played in, and was, you know, really going after him verbally for some of the things that Luka said to Schroeder on the court. And apparently the crux of the issue reportedly is that Dennis Schroeder didn't like that Luka called him a bitch, which is a word that, you know, I don't like using that word because I think it's a negative connotation to the person that you're using it on towards. And obviously, and then also to women. I just, you know, that's not one of my favorite words. So Schroeder takes issue with that. But what else happened in that game went super viral wasn't Luka Doncic calling Dennis Schroeder a bitch. It was Luka Doncic telling Schroeder, "Dog, you should have taken that contract." And, you know, I would wager to say that Dennis Schroeder probably had a much bigger problem with that comment. And more importantly, that comment going as viral as it did than any one particular word that Luka Doncic said to him that wasn't picked up as publicly as that exchange was. So that was hilarious. Dennis Schroeder has been suspended 3 games as a result of that. And apparently, like, it had to be broken up by players, and apparently Luka was a little shaken up over the whole thing. I don't know that he actually, like, I don't, Luka's huge. I don't know why he would be afraid of Dennis Schroeder, but regardless, Luka got in his car with his dad and they drove off. Players, you know, I think DeAndre Ayton was involved in this, you know, kind of ushered Dennis Schroeder back to his locker room, and eventually cooler heads prevailed and that, like, no actual fight took place. But I don't necessarily buy that it had anything to do with Luka Doncic calling Schroeder a bitch as much as it was like, damn it, that comment about how, and look, that is a huge amount of money that Dennis Schroeder passed up on and never was able to recover. And like, it would be something that would piss me off if somebody brought it up to me too. So like, just putting myself in Dennis Schroeder's shoes there, I totally understand him reacting the way that he did to that, especially as everybody is laughing at that again and it's going viral again. I would imagine he got back to his locker, saw that going viral. It was that comment was already probably bothering him. It goes viral and then he runs off and you know, confronts Luka about the comment. That would that's how I would probably see that all playing out. I haven't really looked into it very much because all of this has been taking place on the weekend, and I don't really like to work as much during the weekend until tonight, obviously. And yet here we are. So, I laughed at it pretty hard though, when I saw what was going on there, cause it was immediate. Like, this is what you were actually angry about. All right. Let's see. Josh Green is an interesting one, Mac. With the Vortex, Josh Green and Charlotte already play with Luka. I believe Green is helping Charlotte, though, is the thing. And Charlotte has been playing really well, right? They beat the breaks off Oklahoma City Thunder a little while back. And then last night beat the Utah Jazz to the tune of like 55 points. Now, I haven't looked into like what kind of role Green is playing in that rotation now. But if he is helping them win, that makes it a little bit more difficult to bring him in. What you're starting to see, and I had Trey, the Trey Young trade signaled some of this too. What you're starting to see is a lot of teams, like, unless you are the absolute worst team in your conference, I think a lot of these teams are getting kind of sick of tanking and that being an avenue for bringing in talent. And I think a lot of owners are kind of looking at tanking as an avenue to bring in talent, as not as fruitful as it once was. So you're going to start seeing teams even closer to the bottom of the conferences of each conference make that decision of like, all right, enough of this. Let's just go out and either keep a player who's helping us win or go out and help, you know, get a player who would help us win. And we'll see if there are other ways for us to get other kinds of talent, or even better, you know, like let the ping pong balls fall where they will. And don't intentionally lose to land a few extra ping pong balls. And then maybe you win a couple of extra games and you land a decent spot in the lottery anyway. That's like with the flattening of the lottery odds, I think that's probably where all of this is probably heading. You know, we'll see a lot more of that than teams doing whatever they possibly can to get themselves like 5 to 7 extra percent chance of drafting higher in the lottery. And I think that's a good thing, you know. And we also saw the league, right, sent out that memo that they are trying to find other ways to end tanking and rid the league of tanking. And I think some of these smarter teams are getting out ahead of that too. And so if you're Charlotte and you see that the league is kind of getting ready to put an end to tanking, and you have this guy in Green who is a two-way wing who has helped you do a little bit of winning this year, you know, the price goes up on a player like that. But I still think you could probably get him for, you know, an expiring contract and maybe, you know, a pick swap or something like that. And because I don't think he's the kind of guy that Charlotte considers a part of their future. And like you're saying, Mac, you know, Luka and Josh Green have played together before in the past. And I know some Mavericks fans were kind of frustrated by the Josh Green experience. I've always liked him as a basketball player. So 100% with you on him as a trade target. Let's see. I'm actually starting to feel a little bit better. So may as well just keep on answering some of these questions. Let's see if you guys, The man JM, I would like to get Miles Bridges, bro. They have to get Claxton. I like Jalen Smith, Justin Champagne. All right. So Miles Bridges, I'm not very interested in. I know you could probably get him at a relative discount because of his contract and because of the off court behavior, but specifically because of that off court behavior, I never want to watch that mother flow. Like, I never want to see that mother bleeper in a Lakers jersey. I draw a pretty hard line there personally. You can feel however you want to feel about him, and if you can kind of separate the basketball player from the person, then that's your call, that's your prerogative. But for me personally, the stuff that guy is not just accused of, but it like having admitted to some of that stuff, and you can Google Miles Bridges domestic violence, and you could see what pops up, and you can see why I don't really want him. I already talked about Claxton. Jalen Smith is an interesting one. He's a little Coloco-ish to me, and he was like, Coloco wasn't able to get off of the bench for the Lakers. So I don't know how much Jalen Smith would actually play. Champagne is an interesting one here as well. You know, he and his brother are interesting players, but he's in that like weird, like, I don't know how old he is, so I don't know. And given that the Wizards just traded for Trae Young, who kind of widens their window a little bit, I wonder if they might feel that Champagne fits into that window. But yeah, like, I think you guys, like, more importantly than any one name here, I think you guys are kind of on the right track of the caliber of wing that the Lakers not just should be checking in on, but like they will be checking in on, right? Like I know they've already had, they have held internal conversations about just about every player that we have talked about so far today. Let's see. Keep on looking through here. Have there been zero new hirings to scouting and player development, or is there just not news about it? It would be surprising if they start this process in the summer. Well, the issue with like the timing, sorry, the timing that they fired Jesse and Joey Buss is that the people that you would be hiring in their place are all currently working. All of them are working. There aren't like any, you know, diamonds in the rough who just happen to be unemployed right now. Like the people that you would want to employ, they are gainfully employed. And it makes it really difficult to, you know, work around contracts and stuff like that mid-season for people who are under contract with their current situation. So you do have a front office that is even more, even thinner than it normally would be, which, by the way, you know, I think that reflects not all the best on the people who made that decision, right? Like, maybe they think that they're just better off without those people. But as Pete and I kind of talked about, in one specific way, the Lakers do miss Jesse and Joey Buss. And if they miss those guys at all, then you may as well have just kind of like ridden it out and, you know, got to the end of the year and fired them at a time where they could actually be replaced. Firing them when they did, I don't think actually brings any benefit other than kumbaya, I guess, in the front office. All right, we got one more. We got one more question here. Nuggets just beat the same Bucks team the Lakers lost to, but without Murray and Jokic. When will the Lakers finally establish a culture of competition as well as an offensive system? They will establish that culture when it is established at the very top of the organization. And they will establish that culture when Luka leans into that culture of competition and accountability to a greater extent than he has so far. And they will establish that culture when everybody on down, you know, from the front office to the coaching staff to players and teammates, when they see that leadership in place actually really cares about that kind of thing and not just preaches it in empty words, you know, to the void, but actually follows up and lives by that notion. That is when the Lakers will have the kind of culture like the Nuggets. Look at what they have been able to do without Jokic. I'll have to look and see like when Jokic got hurt and all of that stuff. But like the Nuggets haven't completely fallen off of a cliff without Yoke. And, you know, if you're like, maybe this should affect his MVP ticket, but, all right. So I'm just looking at the appeared as like a team leader in something. Yeah. So it was that Miami game. Yeah. He got hurt against Miami. All right. So since then the Nuggets are 1-1, 1-2, 3-2, 3-3, 4-3 without Jokic. They have lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They beat the Philadelphia 76ers in overtime. They beat Boston, which is a really impressive win. And they beat, obviously, the Bucks, as you just kind of talked about tonight. And yeah, like you look at all of their leadership, right? Like Aaron Gordon came back, and I think he is somebody who is vital to that team's culture of accountability and give a bleep and all that stuff. And I think getting him back has really helped. Peyton Watson taking the strides that he has as a player has also really helped. And, you know, you look at a team that, you know, has championship pedigree and has already won a championship as an organization. And, you know, do I think that they're going to continue to, like, if they missed Jokic for the remainder of the season, their season would be over. Like, don't get me wrong. There are extents to which this stuff can actually work, and the kumbaya and the rah-rah stuff actually helps. But, you know, can they stay afloat? Can they, you know, tread water and hover around 500 without Jokic? I would probably say so. And look, to the Lakers' credit, like, they missed LeBron at the beginning of the year and they looked really good. And then they missed Luka for a little while and they were able to stay afloat then. And now they're missing Austin Reeves and they are roughly staying afloat. And then there have been times where two of those guys have been missing and that's where the Lakers' problems really, really hit. But to me, like, you know, one of the things that the Lakers are really going to have to focus on, and the sooner that they can really make strides here in this regard, the better, is, you know, stuff that we just talked about a little while ago, right? Like the coaching staff and the scouting department and their analytics department and hiring a shooting coach and individual coaching in general and overall investment in player development, right? Those are the things that the Lakers are really going to have to nail as we venture further into the Mark Walter era. And the better that they get at those things, the wider that gap will become between them and organizations that can either succeed on the margins or can succeed with, like, you know, star acquisition. If the Lakers are able to be both, right? If they can thrive on the margins and also acquire stars, that's how you become the behemoth that the Dodgers have become in baseball. And I know it's not the same cap system, and I know that you know, it's not an apples to apples comparison here, but that should still be the goal. You know, I'm actually fairly confident that Mark Walter and his team will be able to achieve that goal. All right, this was a much longer podcast than I thought it was going to be heading in. Thank you, everybody, for all of your patience. I really appreciate it. I know that it's probably tough to see me sniffle and sneeze and rub my eyes through an episode. But to those of you who did just that, I really, really appreciate it. Hopefully I'll start feeling better here soon. The cedar season is supposed to end here in the next couple of weeks anyway. So hopefully we'll feel better and all of this will be behind us. But regardless, tomorrow I'll have some support on the show with Raj and that helps with this kind of a situation as well. So until then, and until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Hit that share button. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. And until tomorrow, have a good one.